Next, we're going to get into The Conjuring, which James has seen, which is directed by James Wan, who has done at least one of the Saw movies, the Insidious series and The Conjuring. He's directed all those. Mm-hmm. And the writers are Kerry Hayes, who has done wonderful shows as Baywatch Nights. and also relating this back to the last review that we just had, House of Wax, and also
they're improving. I'm telling you right now, they're improving. Go ahead.
And also the original Conjuring, and also Chad Hayes, who has the same credits, and it stars Vera Farmiga, who's from Bates Motel, The Departed, Source Code, the original Conjuring movie, Patrick Wilson, who's from Watchmen, I think he was Owlman or something like that. Yeah. Insidious, The Conjuring, and the Fargo TV series, and then Madison Wolf, who was one of Woody Harrelson's children in True Detective, I believe, and Keanu and Trumbo, which I don't think anyone has seen except for me, which is about kind of what happens when people were considered communists in Hollywood, person that was kind of blacklisted in Hollywood that went on to write Spartacus. The IMDb synopsis for this is Lorraine and Ed Warren travel to North London to help a single mother raising four children alone in a house plagued with a malicious spirit. So, having said that, James, what did you think of The Conjuring 2?
First, I've been waiting for a long time to see this movie, and I was not disappointed at all. This movie, to me, I love horror. You guys know I love horror, but I'm a horror critic. This one was, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, there's nothing I can complain about. I enjoyed everything about this movie. It didn't scare me, but it had its eerie moments. It was very eerie at times. And the thing is, with James Wan, I watched probably all of his movies that he directed or had some part in, because I know him and I think his friend Lee Whannell, they tend to do a lot of the same things, like the Insidious and all that. They all kind of tying together. His technique is the same, but it's effective. You know, before I would talk about how certain movies, they do the same thing over and over again, and it's not effective. But with him, I actually felt kind of uneasy. Well, Kiefer Price, I was scared, but I wasn't scared, just a little uneasy.
The heck does that even mean?
I felt uneasy, man. It wasn't scared. I was like, oh my god, someone's right beside me. It wasn't like that. It was just like, ooh, this is kind of creepy. Some bad is about to happen. You know, that's what that means, Keith. Okay? That's what that means. And then, like, the dark imagery, perfect. Everything, every scene in that movie was beautifully done. And also, I like the attention to detail, because before I saw the movie, I did a little bit of research, because this movie is based off of a true story. I did a little bit of research, and they have the interview that the family that was being haunted, they have that, and he got that to a T. The actresses look, damn near spot on, like with the wardrobe, the setting, everything. It was just, he did such a good job with this movie. I was happy, because I was just hoping that, you know, because the first one was pretty good. I just hope they just kept it up, and they did. And I think this is actually better than the first one. And for it to be like over a little bit of 2 hours, it didn't seem like that. I mean, it really didn't seem that it was over 2 hours. I was really invested into all the characters, and especially you get to see the relationship between Ed and Lorraine Warren. I mean, you knew they were married, and you see the progression and how much they truly love each other, because they are the only ones that understand one another. So, I mean, you see character progression from the first one to the second one. So that's a good thing. And also, I mean, I'm quite sure they're going to make this a whole nother series, because from what I heard and from what I researched, the main, I'm going to say villain, can't say villain, but the spirit that's in this movie is going to get their own movie, just like Annabelle got her own movie from The Conjuring, the first Conjuring, just from that little short little snippet in the beginning. So, I mean, it's doing well. You know, I'm not even sure how much it made box office wise, but for a horror movie, if you want to be scared or if you want to enjoy, you want to feel that little adrenaline rush when you watch a horror movie, I think this is what you got to go see. This is the best thing I've seen in a while.
So you got an adrenaline rush from this movie?
Well, you know, some people like they like the idea of being scared. Like me, I didn't get an adrenaline rush, but like I said, I felt creeped out. I actually want to watch a horror movie that actually makes me feel uneasy. I mean, and when's the last time you watched a horror movie that actually shook you up? To actually be like, ooh, okay, this is creepy. Have you ever watched something like that recently? Within the past, I would say, 10 years?
The Conjuring, the first Conjuring was pretty...
Yeah, that was good. That was good. So, yeah, you did see something within the last 10 years, but then it's still the same formula. It's like I said, it's not consistent. You know, you don't go to a horror movie to laugh. So, but like I said, if you know, anyone that loves horror like I do, I think they should check this out.
And how much better is it than the first Conjuring movie?
I felt that this one, like I said, was better just for character development. Like the first one, you knew them, but you didn't really feel. I did not feel invested into the characters and how they play them then. I mean, I cared somewhat, but I was like, whatever. But this one, I genuinely cared for the main characters. I cared for the family. You know, I felt sorry for the family. I actually felt that. So just on character progression alone, that's how this movie is superior to the first. It's a little bit, like I said, it's a little bit more eerie on how, like, certain shots were created. The voice acting for, yeah, you can say the voice acting for certain parts of the movie. And just the makeup of the entity, you know, it was well done. Like, it was very, very creepy and unsettling. This one, you really didn't... The thing you saw in the first one, if you haven't seen the first one, was basically a woman being... I mean, you didn't really see much. You got to see the possession and what have you. This one, you get to see something similar, but that creepy vibe, I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, you can just give the first third of the movie.
It starts off the same way the first one starts off. One. It starts off with them doing an investigation on another case. And this one, in the very beginning, they show the Amityville case. And I know a lot of people are familiar with the Amityville case, so it shows that. For the longest time, they also set it up that Lorraine was seeing visions, and so was Ed. But the visions, in her case, had to do something with something bad happening to Ed. And, you know, that kind of kept her uneasy. And they kind of touched on it in the first one, but not too much. This one, they get a little bit more detailed. That's what I was talking about, the character progression. It gets more detailed. And, I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. It's a sequel. And then they kind of want to take a break and relax because I believe, like, Lorraine's getting worn out because, you know, she's the one that's actually dealing with the spiritual warfare of it. So she wants to take a break, but then another case comes up and they kind of reluctantly get involved. And the case happens to be in London. From there, for some reason, this family just going through hell, and it all ties to a Ouija board, supposedly. That's how they set it up, but it's just funny to me how that's always a setup. A Ouija board is always a setup for demonic possession. It can't be that you're just a fucked up person or a fucked up individual and you deserve evil. It got to be a Ouija board. So that's how most of this gets started from the very beginning.
All right. And how would you compare this to something like the Amityville, which is also kind of like a demonic possession / moved into a house movie?
I think this definitely outdoes it. It outshines it. And I think the reason why it outshines it is just because, like, times have changed. I mean, this, like I said, it's just the imagery that the director was able to set up, like the mood, everything. Like, and when I watched Amityville and I watched the remake, I didn't feel that way. I didn't feel that eeriness. I just felt, okay, I'm watching a horror movie. That's it. It wasn't there for me. And what makes this movie tie into the Amityville movie is that the same people that were doing the actual investigation for Amityville is doing the same thing in this too. The way they're setting this up with Ed and Lorraine Warren, they could just keep this going for so long because they have so many cases of the paranormal that they could just make a whole series and just kill it. As long as they keep making it fresh, it can't be the same thing. And with this, they definitely improved from the first one and definitely from Amityville, because Amityville is a very old movie, and even the remake, this is definitely a step up.
Okay, because it looks like the budget for this movie was about $40 million. And this is worldwide gross, $276
million. Yeah, they make a new one.
Yeah. They have to. Yeah. Keith, they have to.
Yeah,
they have to. There's so many damn stories, cases that they have. They have to make a series out of this. And then, and like I said, the way they set this up is going to branch off into other shit. Just like Annabelle. Annabelle got a sequel coming out. And it all started with The Conjuring, the first one. This is a cash cow. If they keep doing it the way they're doing it, but get better doing it each time, there will be no problem with this being a good horror series. And I believe James Wan is perhaps the master of horror right now, director-wise.
Okay, so because he did...
Who would you say? Go ahead, man. Tell us, like,
well, I'm just saying, like, the first Saw movie.
Well, let me rephrase that. The master of horror right now, now overall, but the one that's actually actively doing it and successful. Like, I mean, right now, I'm a fan of Sam Raimi, but Sam Raimi hasn't done anything since what was that movie with the Jack? I forgot. Back to Hell. Hold on.
Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying for that statement, you might be skipping over a lot of
people. Oh, he has some duds.
No, I'm just saying, like, John Carpenter, George Romero.
Well, I'm talking about...
Alfred Hitchcock, you're missing a couple people. Like,
no, I mean, I know that. I'm talking about, like, as of right now.
Generation, right now.
Okay.
Now, overall, he's not even in the spectrum. But right now, right now, for the ones that are doing it now, like, consistently, it's him. It's no one else. I mean, he has a good track record, but yet he has some duds too. No, he wasn't a part of House of Wax. I mean, he
like everybody else.
Yeah, I know. Certainly, they're all tied up, tied into House of Wax. He did Dead Silence. That was not a
great one. Who? What? Where was it called? Dead Silence.
Yeah, Dead Silence. It's about puppets. Dead Silence. But the imagery was good. Yeah, I wasn't watching that. That movie, the imagery was good. I mean, he's good at setting the tone, but the movie itself was not that great, in my opinion.
That's a bold statement. But I mean, John Carpenter is probably still going at some point.
Like I said, he's still going, but I mean, he hasn't really put anything horror-wise out there that made any money recently.
Okay.
John Carpenter, didn't he retire from directing?
Looks like he's mainly done. The last movie that he's directed is called The Ward.
Yeah. I've seen that.
And before that... Scary.
What'd you say, Ken?
It wasn't scary? Was it scary? Or what was up with that?
It was a movie.
Well, it looked like before that, the last thing that he really directed was Ghost of Mars, which is...
That was like 10 years ago, wasn't it?
2001.
See, that's what I was saying.
Starring everybody's favorite Ice Cube.
Yay, yay.
Is that any good, actually, like from a movie standard?
No.
From a movie standpoint, no. That's something that you watch, you're like, you know what? It's something on TV. I'm about to watch it. And yeah, anything you question, do you really want to see it?
Is it Uwe Boll caliber of bad?
No, or? No. Nothing is Uwe Boll. Okay.
House of the Dead.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. Ever.
Well, then they start shooting his crank at DMX.
Yeah. Nah, man, that's when they start shooting and they start showing game clips from the House of the Dead. Dude, try to do the Matrix move on shooting a shotgun.
Yeah, but again, that's a bold statement. I will let you stand beside that statement. And
you're not going to stand beside me, Barry?
Well, as a person that generally does not watch horror movies,
mm-hmm.
I will default to your expertise and experience.
Oh, Barry.
Did you like it, or was it what?
How would you say, Barry? I mean, Keith?
Supposed to be like it or not.
Yes.
Well, no. I said, Barry, did you watch it or did you not?
I have not seen the movie. I have not seen the first one. Again, I generally don't watch a lot of
horror. He doesn't horror movies like that. See, horror is probably you and I, Keith.
I mean, I will watch some random independent movie before I watch a horror movie. So I haven't seen Insidious. I haven't seen Annabelle, which I know is to be terrible.
Yes, Annabelle's disgusting.
Was it shocking?
Annabelle?
Yes.
No.
All right.
But you should check it out, though. You may like
Why
it.
Why would I watch a bad movie, man?
Because you may not think it's bad. Form your own opinion, dude.
Damn. All right. Now, hey, you know what? You and I are going to watch a horror movie together, James, and I'm going to prove to the fact that you do get scared.
Yeah, fine. I'll just sit there and be like this, just straight face, while you over there shivering like a little old bitch.
Nah, man, I've heard you. I've heard you go, yeah. I've heard you screaming like terror.
You have not heard me scream. You may have heard me emote, but you did not hear me scream.
This guy, every time, man, it's like, it doesn't mean you like less than a man.
No, like, seriously, if I was scared, I would say I was scared.
Have you ever been scared of a movie?
Exorcist 3 kind of scared me.
Phantasm.
Oh, yeah. Phantasm was a good one, too. Yeah, the first one? Yeah.
That's probably last time I've seen a horror movie.
Yeah, damn!
Not really. I'm joking. But
I was going to say, but hey, that's the last time you saw one. At least you left off on a good note. Yeah. Don't be like me. Seeing everything makes you, some things make your eyes bleed.
But let's go ahead and wrap this up. James, what do you give The Conjuring 2 out of 10?
I give it an 8.8.
And what kind of justifies that 8.8? Or 8 in general? I mean, that's a high 8. That's a pretty high 8. You know, that's like you're telling me that this is one of the greatest horror movies in the upper echelon of horror movies.
Well, like I said, this is you know, my opinion. There may be some people that disagree with me, but you know what? They're not on a podcast either.
Well, I'm challenging, yo. You disagree with me, yo.
Start your own podcast.
Right, but no, seriously, the reason why I give it an 8 is because I'm a very hard critic. You guys know this. When it comes to horror movies,
you would watch some terrible garbage. I've seen you watch terrible garbage.
Yes. I've watched.
No, you don't want to come and watch a human centipede. God damn.
But like I said, the movie, like I said, I would give the first one at least about like a 7, like a high 7. This one, I give, like I said, a high 8, mid 8, maybe. And because of the character progression, and I see where it's going. I see what they could possibly do with this movie. I see the improvement from the first one to the second one. And in all honesty, I'm excited for the third one, whatever the third one's going to come out. And it's definite that the third one's going to come out. So, I mean, anytime that you watch a horror series or just a series in general, you want to see progression through the movies. You don't want to see the first X-Men series. You don't want to see that. You don't want to see the slow burn, then part two was the shit, and then The Last Stand. You don't want to see that. So, like I said, I see the progression from the first one, the second one, and possibly third spinoffs and everything. And like I said, he has gotten better from the first one to this one. Even though they're kind of the same thing, but he just tweaked something a little bit and made it a little bit better. And I think that's a good sign of a director. So that's the reason why I give it a high 8. Yeah, like I said, I know Keith, when he sees it, he's going to disagree. He probably give it a 5.
I like the first Conjuring, so I thought it was scary. I thought but the like thrills I said, that attempted were good, and they got me a couple times.
Well, because you're not me. What? Like, I don't know, because you know what? Nothing scares me, man.
God dang, yo.
All right, well, let's kind of close this out. But James is kind of giving this review of The Conjuring 2. And so essentially that's going to be the Beast Game podcast for right now. See you next time. Cue music.